Well, Lord, we want to thank you for today, for your just your presence, Lord God, and thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord God, and we want to honor you today and thank you for your son, the gift of your son. Rejoice just in forgiveness and relationship, restored relationship with you. So we want to be joyful, and I ask that you would just be here and be with us and help us to give you praise in Jesus' name. Don't be afraid to stand if you want.
Yeah. Jesus, I redeem. read Psalm 145. My heart explodes with praise to you. Yes?
Yes.
Now and forever, my heart bows in worship to you, my King and my God. Every day I will lift up my praise to your name, and with praises that will last throughout eternity. Lord, you are great and worthy of the highest praise.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
For there is no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. Generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and declare more of your glory. Your magnificent splendor and the miracles of your majesty are my constant meditation. Your awe-inspiring acts of power have everyone talking. And I'm telling people everywhere about your excellent greatness. Yes?
Yes.
Last verse. Our hearts bubble over as we celebrate the fame of your marvelous beauty, bringing bliss to our hearts. We shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthrough for us. Someone just lead out in a responsive prayer.
Lord, would you make these words real, your word real and living in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, let us cast off the things of this earth and focus and fix our gaze upon the author of our salvation, the one who came and who died in our place and who raised again and is now enthroned in the heavenlies, preparing a place for his own. And I just pray, Lord, that our hearts would be increasingly drawn by your Spirit, filled by your Spirit, that you would receive honor from our lives, from everything we say and do and think. And Lord, we know that individually we all fall short of that goal, but I just pray you'd increase,
yes.
Holy Spirit,
yes,
in
Lord.
Each one of us.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
We agree.
Amen.
We agree.
Amen. Thank you.
We agree. That is a responsive prayer. Someone else?
Father, I praise you. As the angels that kneel before you and turn in circles before you all day, all night, eternally. Praise the Holy One, the Lamb that was slain.
Yeah.
Praise the mighty God who created us, who brought this earth into being. We have so much to praise you, God. You are in the trees. You are in the sunset. You are in the clouds. You are in the rain, the snow, God. You are in the warm days. You are the earth, God, as you brought it forth for our glory. You brought it forth for us to praise and thank you night and day. Holy, holy, holy is the babe that was born. Holy, holy, holy is the lamb that was slain. Hallelujah for Jesus, the Christ, who was risen again.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That was also a responsive prayer.
Well,
to share with everyone. So here, I'll hold you.
Okay.
Or do you pass out?
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, yes.
We have a little, happiness we'd like to spread.
Thank you.
Happiness and cheer. Let's see, I can probably.
Thank you.
Can we open it now?
Yes.
No.
And yes, you may open them at any time. Those two.
think there's more where that came from.
Can we eat it yet? Or?
Open them up and eat them.
It's a gift. You open a gift.
Yes, exactly.
Enjoy, enjoy.
Thank you.
You just couldn't help yourself. No Christmas party.
So Rebecca didn't help
yourself.
How many more are we going? Is everyone happy?
Yes. Happy. Happy. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, though, Dave.
Yes.
You forgot somebody.
Uh-oh. This is...
Oh, lost your phone.
I lost your glasses.
You're old, man.
My microphone.
You have the mic in your hand.
Oh, it's in the box.
Yeah.
It's in the box. Oh, well.
You want me to call you?
Yeah.
Everybody got one?
We got one.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Oh, it's
under
the
box. There we go. Mystery of salt.
Dave survived for a minute without his phone.
No, it's the mic.
Oh, the mic.
It's not up my phone.
What I noticed is you and Karen didn't hand anything to yourselves.
Oh, well, there's some left over.
Okay, never mind.
Karen, go stand next to your husband.
Yes.
Please.
Oh, please.
Oh, so, see, now to get our stuff, we didn't have to come stand up here in front of everybody.
That's right.
But they do.
They always do.
And,
okay.
And I know it's embarrassing, but it's tough.
Yeah.
Because, as usual, there's somebody in our fellowship that always makes sure that we all have a chance to express how we feel about you guys.
Yeah.
And we're all grateful that we get that opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to pass something out to you too. Now this actually is candy.
Wow.
I'll tell you that. You can eat that.
Yeah.
This you should probably use later.
Oh, okay.
And I was thinking about why it is that we give presents at Christmas. It's about how God gave us the gift of Jesus Christ as little baby. And mostly because it's fun to give each other presents. But it's also a way to show love. And just like you show love to us, we want to show love to you. God bless you. Thank you.
Maybe a little something to help you to Korea.
Oh, nice.
Or baby tour.
Little
baby tour.
Warm box.
Just want to say thank you and thank you for being our family. Treasure each and every one of you. Very good. Aw, thanks.
All I can say is we are more than blessed. More than blessed. And thank you for just your faithfulness to bless us in so many different ways. And just to see you all always blessing each other and just loving on each other. Great reward. So I want to just if I can remember my password here. Can't talk and memorize in time. I want you to say with me the title of this morning's message. I guess I could share what it is. Huh? It's okay. Yeah. Let me hold that responsive note there for a second. Jody, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. Okay. This is the last chance to order your book for the Bible study. Something I neglected to mention the last time is that this one was written by a man. So for the guys who felt a little uncomfortable in the last one, because the teacher kept saying girlfriend, that's not going to be an issue this time. So you can pick up one of these to give you the exact details about the when and where. But I want to order the books tomorrow. So if you want a book, tell me. And you don't have to pay for the book until the first day of class.
Yay.
So.
Amen.
Right,
how much is the book?
$16, I believe.
Good job, Jody. Thank you.
And when's the first
class again?
January 8th.
Coming up quick. So since you gave the announcement, I decided to preach in front of the tree. So. So ready for the title? One word. Rejoice. Say it with me.
Rejoice.
Let's say it again.
Rejoice.
And of course, that's was really the theme of our worship by the three wise men who led us. You're showing your colors. So, a little method to our madness or our giving the bags of cheer. I wanted to demonstrate, perhaps, if I could, this morning. The difference between happiness and joy, which is, it's really a hard thing to do. And, I'm hoping that by receiving, the little gift and that's, brightens it, it does shed a little or spread a little cheer, makes one happy. I was thinking about, the beavers yesterday and their failure to win on either the football field or on the basketball court. A true Beaver fan would experience a little sadness, maybe a little more than that. But you could say it this way. You could say it that, well, the Beavers got to go to the bowl game for the first time in so many years, so that's happy. But then they lost. Well, that's sad. I could say like Vigo and Trudy are getting married next week. Yay! Hey, that's. But Vigo's parents aren't going to be able to attend. And that is sad. But they will connect, later on at some point, Lord willing. But, I could, and the list could go on. We rejoice that we've got a new grandchild, but we don't get the privilege of being with them during this season. So it's, but we know that there's a day. I'm thinking that, that's exactly what happiness is. It's a feeling, an emotion that is completely dependent upon what happens. Yes? That's why we call it happiness. Happiness. As circumstances dictate whether you're happy or sad. This morning, I want not only to spread a little happiness, but hopefully a lot of joy. Because that joy is a valuable gift, extremely valuable. And we've been looking at these gifts that, as we approach Christmas, the gift of hope, the gift of peace, and the gift of joy. And this morning, Lord, as we look to your word, may we be reminded of just the value of the reason that we have joy, Lord, that joy is that which we experience as a result of your gift to us. And so we celebrate your coming to us, to the world, not just to a place, but Lord, to our hearts. And we receive great joy over that. Lord, open your word to our hearts this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking, you know, just some of the songs that we sang, Oh Holy Night, and the lyrics there, and talking about the absence of joy, and then the birth of the Christ child, you know, bringing it causes us to, gives cause for us to rejoice. Last week, Bob led O Come Emmanuel, and the lyrics are so graphic, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear, and then rejoice, yes? The other, the O Come Emmanuel, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from the depths of hell, thy people save. From the depths of hell, thy people save, and give them victory over the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. This morning I want us to look at, again, the scripture out of Luke. We sang about the shepherds. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were, what is going on? They were terrified, the scripture says. But the angel quickly reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Say that with me, would you? I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and singing, sing it with me, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every heart prepare him room. Okay, we'll stop right there. Our choir, I'm sure, matched the heavenly choir, yes? But that's that in a word or in a phrase, joy to the world. The joy is the Lord has come. Yes? And then the challenge is, and it comes right in that same line there, at least I skipped one, but let every heart prepare him room. That is the challenge, because the joy has come, but then it requires every heart to make room for that joy, yes? Mm-hmm. And we sing this, I'll bet, I don't know how many times I've sang it, that song, this Christmas, but it's a song that is all year long. And that's why the scripture echoes that really in so many different places. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes? Paul's rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says it again, I say rejoice. The psalmist, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yes? And then we the one that's one of our favorites, count it all joy when you are facing trials of all kinds, when you're facing the fire. That one's not quite so oft quoted. Yes? I want to say, and you know, Paul says it repeatedly in his letters to the church, you know, just the importance of rejoicing. It needs to be a pattern of your life. It's not just an everyday thing. It's the way that, I mean, it is an everyday, all day is what I was trying to say. It's not just a once in a while. It's an all the time. And yet it seems like sometimes those verses just simply almost slap us in the face. But that's not the intention. They're not intended to slap us, but to remind us and to encourage us and to declare or mold us or shape us into the focus that our lives, our hearts need to be on the fact of the reality that Jesus is present and Jesus has not only rescued us from sin, but given us a relationship with the Father and is preparing a place for us. And so when we think of those things, it is the basis of real joy. Joy is not an when I say it's not an emotion, there's certainly aspects, but joy is more of a virtue. In fact, I read that that the word joy finds its roots in a in the French, and I thought, well, what's the word for joy in French? Do I have any French speakers in here? Joie, joie. I was hoping for someone because I'm not. That's about the only word I can speak in French, but I'm not even sure of its. I'm sure there's different pronunciations, but it just suffice it to say, joy is not the absence of sadness any more than peace is the absence of conflict or storms. Joy is not based in feeling or circumstances or our bank accounts or our accomplishments or our plans coming together. Joy is not superficial. It's not shallow and it's not fragile. Happiness is oh so fragile, yes? Joy can exist and even rule in the midst of sadness or disappointments or loss. Yes or no? That's why Paul, and look at his example, Paul can say rejoice always. He's saying it from a prison cell. That's why James can say count it all joy when you face trials, because he knows that his joy is much deeper, much more valuable, much more significant beyond the present trials. And that's why Jesus said, remain in me. Remain in me. Remain in my love that my joy may be in you or remain in you. And it's not just in the good times or when things are going well. Again, that's not joy. But at all times, even when the unimaginable occurs. When Jesus said these words, think about when he's saying these. He's hours away from being on the cross. These are his parting words to his disciple. And he wasn't saying this like, you know, hang in there, guys. Good luck. Cheers. You know, like. He was imparting something much deeper than they even realized at the time. And I think so much of the time, then we really, fully realize. Because it would be, I mentioned this, but it'd be a matter of hours, and he would be demonstrating the depth of this joy as he was dying on the cross. Is that even possible? It is. Listen to what the scripture says. For the joy set before him, he enjoyed the cross. Is that what the scripture says? For the joy set before him, no, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and yet his example to endure that cross because he was looking beyond the cross. The joy set before him, us, we were the focus of Jesus' heart while he was on the cross. And that was the joy that he was able to embrace as he was enduring not just pain, but death. And so his example is this, because his heart was what? His heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquers its humiliation. Because of the joy, and listen to this line, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. So then this is the next verse. I got a slide for this. So, this is verse 3. So consider carefully, this is the challenge to us, to consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppressed their own souls, so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. That's the challenge. I mean, it's not the challenge, it's an invitation, is really what it is, that we would consider carefully how Jesus faced the ultimate opposition or intense opposition, so that we, when we face stuff, and sometimes it'll feel, and I mean, many times we face such intense, and whether it's just opposition or whether it's just intense trials or tragedy or difficulty, whatever it is, that we won't be worn down and cave in. So our joy is not found in what, this is the challenge. I'm stating it not so much matter-of-factly, but just as, it's matter-of-fact, but it's not making an assumption. It's a reminder that we need to constantly be adjusting or focusing on that which enables us, so that when we're going through stuff or things aren't accomplished, or things that are not happening that I hoped would happen or want to happen, but my joy is found in what God is doing, even when I can't see it so clearly, or what God has accomplished, which is really more the truth, because we're able to, that would be my prayer, is that God enable us to increase our vision. Every time I go to the eye doctor, and you got to remember, I grew up with, as a kid, with 20/20 vision. I saw perfectly. But about 20 years ago, that 20/20 vision began to diminish. And now it seems like every time I go to the doctor, I need a little bit more of a bump, a little bit more of a help. I think that's a picture of every time we go to the Father, Lord, I need a little bit, I need a bump. I need a increased, what's the, increased prescription, the ability to see a little bit farther. And of course, what I want to see is what's going to happen next. I want to see what's, you know, what do you got in mind, God? And God doesn't, you know, as the scripture says, gives us enough for the next step, but he also shows what's way beyond. I want to focus on a little bit more of tomorrow or the next day rather than just the what's into eternity. Do you follow what I'm trying to say there? Not sure where my voice is going this morning, but what I'm trying to say is we're curious. We want to know, God, what do you got in mind? What do you have in mind? And God doesn't always give us, in fact, rarely does he give us the next day, the next week. But he's always holding out what's down the road for us, what's in mind. And what we do is we rob ourselves or we allow ourselves to be void of the joy that could be ours if we only focus on what's right in front of us and not depend upon God for that extra vision. Yes? So my joy is not in my testimony. My joy is rooted in his testimony. Yes? Our joy is rooted in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the power of the empty tomb. So the question this morning is, what is the focus of your heart? I'm constantly challenged I think of how easily I can forget about the joy that if I had $1 million in the bank, I mentioned that the one of the focus of that Karen and I have recently is we've talked to Josh at length the last night, our son in Korea, who is a proud father, and today receiving his wife and child into his home. She's been in a postnatal care facility, and now for the next couple of weeks, she will have a nurse that will be with her 8 hours a day. And so just incredible care and whatnot. And so, you know, that brings us great joy, and we have the hopes of just all that her life will become and such. But I also see my baby sister. Can I talk about this? I know I've talked so much about this, but with Karen and I both in the same year, losing sisters and receiving a granddaughter. But I thought this is the perfect illustration that in the midst, even though the tears are just begging to burst out as I speak about this, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of sadness, in the midst of grief, the truth is, I'm not focusing, I choose not to focus on, not denying that the reality of this, but my focus is that I can see beyond the death, and I can see that at some point in the not so distant future that I will see my sister again. And it's not just all about me and getting what I want. It's knowing that my sister is not suffering anymore, that our sisters are with Jesus, and so many that we've lost loved ones. That's how we can rejoice in the midst of absolute tragedy. Yes? And that reveals, and I think just even though it's significant, I think it just is a little bit of the depth of the joy that is made available to us because Jesus came. Emmanuel. He came to be with us. Let me read this Psalm 16. I'd never seen this before, at least in this light. Because of you, the psalmist writes, I know the path of life. As I taste the fullness of joy in your presence. The fullness of joy, it comes in the presence of Jesus. At your right side, I experience divine pleasures forevermore. The fifth verse, let me did the 11th first, but I wanted to do the fifth next. Yahweh, you alone are my inheritance. You are my prize. You are my pleasure and my portion. You hold my destiny and its timing in your hands. So when we sing Joy to the World, that song just even announcing the title just stirs my heart. I'm ready to stand and rejoice. And sitting in this, this very cool decorated room and with family and friends, it's easy. But then the moment that we step out, and sometimes it doesn't even have to be stepping out, we face stuff. And of what value is the joy that we experience if it can, on a moment's notice, be taken from us? And the only way that, in fact, I submit, it cannot be taken away from us. What can happen is a momentary lapse in memory or momentary lapse in focus and realizing, okay, so I'm going to let that be my focus. Yes? Even though I have that as my inheritance, as my portion. No, I'm going to let that be my focus. And that's the challenge, is it happens just like that. And I think that's where I'm humbled, is I realize that I've got some growing to do. And we all have some growing to do. But let this be a Christmas where we, okay, Lord, I want the party, I want the candy, I want the gifts, I want the merriment. But what's more important is I need the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is going to enable me to face whatever 2022 has in store. And my guess is there's going to be more of the same. There is always going to be the challenges. There's going to be the injustice. There's going to be the loss of life. But that doesn't dictate the depth of our joy unless we allow it. Jesus says, I give you joy. But he also says, the way you keep it is to remain in me. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, we just want to pause to say thank you. Lord, sometimes the words thank you just seem so just not enough, because we start to get a glimpse of how much you've given us and how much you continue to bless us. But Lord, we do want to say thank you, and perhaps one of the best ways that we could say thank you is by remembering to just follow your example. By being reminded that for the joy set before you, you endured the cross, and that somehow in the midst of our pain, it would be a trigger to look beyond and focus on the joy set before us, the joy that you set before us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word, Lord, that reminds us and strengthens us every day. Thank you for being the source of our joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand. So the blessing I want to speak on each of you, a little bit different this morning. I'm going to take some editing privilege of the scripture. Of course, not changing meaning whatsoever. But because of the joy set before us, may God remind us, may God fill us with his joy, even though the fig tree has no blossoms, even though there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, may your heart rejoice in the Lord. May you be joyful in the God of your salvation, for the sovereign Lord is your strength. May he make you as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights, no matter how steep, no matter how rocky, no matter how painful. In Jesus' name, amen.